First Peter chapter number 4, verses 12 and 13, and we will conclude the message on verse number 14. First Peter chapter number 4, amen. Amen. Also sharing with us is my brother-in-law from Louisiana and my sister-in-law, amen. I thank God for them sharing, Reverend Marcelon and Sister Marcelon for sharing with us on today. Amen. Amen. I just feel so loved today, amen. Amen. There is a word from the Lord. First Peter chapter number 4, verses 12 through 13. And our conclusion of the message will be at verse number 14. When you have it, please say amen. And there you will find these words. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory of God rested upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but your part he is glorified. Look at the person standing next to you, and with a serious attitude, tell them failure is not an option. Amen. You may be seated. Failure is not an option. On the count of three, let us say it again. One, two, three. Failure is not an option. This passage of scripture is one that is very interesting to us because it shows us the before and after of the life of Peter. The Peter who writes this epistle is different from the Simon Peter we read about in the Gospels. The Peter who writes this epistle is more sage than venerable. He's older and wiser now. He's writing from the perspective of been there, done that, bought the t-shirt to prove it. He's writing from a perspective of Christian experience to those who may be struggling when they are coming under the persecution and the attack of Satan. And so this Peter in the epistles is different from the Simon now we read about in the Gospels. Because you remember, it's the Simon we read about in the Gospels that was always questioning the authenticity sometimes of who God is. It's the Simon that even though he took great leaps of faith, it's the Simon Peter who said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to get out of the boat and come to thee. It is the Simon Peter who took off his sword and cut off the ear of someone in the desert. It's the same Simon Peter in the Gospels who would cuss and fuss at the drop of a dime. Now we see him going through the challenges and the transitions of spiritual maturity, and we see him now putting pen to parchment. He's one of these sacred stenographers who now writes from a perspective of having lived out what he's telling others. It is here now that this Peter begins to introduce us to next level living. He introduces us to next level spirituality. He introduces us to next level life with God. He pauses here in the first chapter, in the first epistle, in the fourth chapter, to put pen to parchment in verse number 12, and he says, beloved. What was going on at this particular time is that there were individuals who were struggling with the reality of their relationship with God. They were struggling because they decided to become what was then called people of the way. They moved from people of the way to Christ-likeans and then to Christians. And so while they were people of the way, they were being persecuted and they are struggling dealing with the persecution. So Peter now chimes in. Peter, the carrier of the New Testament church. Peter, the one who after he had came out of all of his challenges, it was Peter who Jesus trusted on the cross to give the New Testament church to. It was out of the loins of Peter that the New Testament church was birthed in the book of Acts. It was there when Peter preached one sermon and he said, repent for the remission of your sins. And 3,000 people were added to the church. It was this same Peter who outtaxed himself with John in Acts chapter number 3, who's outside of the gate called Beautiful, outside of the temple. And there's a beggar there who says, look upon me and give. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give. The such as he has now is the understanding that if I can get you to connect with Jesus, if I can get you to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, then most of the stuff you're dealing with, you won't have to deal with. These individuals now are in verse number 12, and they are beginning to struggle with the reality of trying to live life with a level of integrity. Everybody doesn't want you to live life with integrity. Everybody doesn't want you to live good. Everybody doesn't want your marriage to work. Everybody don't want your children to be successful. Every job you own don't want you to get the next promotion. Y'all gonna talk back to me? And so he is pausing to tell the people, beloved, 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 beloved. They were struggling with what they were feeling. And they were forgetting what they actually knew. They were caught up into the emotion of what they were seeing and not being rooted and grounded in the foundation of what God said. So he gave this word, beloved, to kind of throw their, his arms around them and pull them and gather them in as if you would do a child who has fallen and is crying. He's bringing them in close. That term, beloved, is so endearing and so rich. One of the first times that phrase beloved was actually used was when Jesus was hanging out with John the Baptist around the Jordan. And it was at that point when Jesus said, John, do this for me so prophecy will be fulfilled, that Jesus actually was baptized by John at the Jordan. And it was when God peeked through the heavens and said, that is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This term beloved, it's now being gathered in there. He's bringing them close. He says, beloved, listen to this. Think it not strange. Now listen to the verbiage he used, because it's very critical that we understand. He did not say, feel it not strange, but he said, think it not strange, because he realized that too many times we function out of feeling and not out of our knowledge. Oh Lord, we function and we flow out of feeling and not out of knowledge. So he says, beloved, think it not strange. Yeah. If you're writing this morning, the first point I want to make is look at the tension now that he's bringing to the text. He says, think it not strange. And when you think you would hear him say, think it is strange, he says, think it not strange when you fall, when you're in this fiery furnace. He's saying now, from the perspective of been there and done that, he's talking now from the perspective of having Christian experience. He's talking now for someone who has been tried by the fire, who has come out as pure gold, been there, done that. He say, look, let me tell you, I need you to understand that it's all right. When was the last time you've been through something and someone told you it's all right? When was the last time you really ran up against a wall that was uncomfortable and somebody said, it's all right? So many times we hear the champion, we hear the driving, we hear the information to tell us to go and jump over the wall, but sometimes God put walls up for a purpose. Sometimes God cut bridges off for a purpose. Sometimes God allow you to be deleted from Facebook accounts for a purpose. And he's saying, when you find that purpose, don't you fall out. Don't you go gray. Don't you get fat. Don't you get skinny. Don't you lose your mind. Think it not strange. In other words, what Peter was simply saying is, when you ever really get into tough spots, you're in the right place with God. Because it's through moving you through the tough spots that he creates a next level of character in order to put you to a place that you would not acquire if you don't go through some things. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. He has to take you through some challenges and take you through some uncomfortable days so you will be able to get up every morning and say, I thank God for a brand new day. Now look at what he says. He says in the tension, verse 12, the tension says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, listen, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. So he says, the tension now, the tension is, think it not strange when you're tested. So the second point we want to make is not only do we want to understand the tension, but we also want to understand the testing. Let the church say the testing. Are you heard me say in one of my earlier sermons that Jesus never tests you on what he hasn't already taught you? So when you enter into the test, you need to start going back through your notes saying, I have the notes. In other words, Jesus always prepares you with a cheat sheet before you get to the test. The test is, whatever comes up, the answers is right here in the Word of God. It's not just knowing the Word of God, but it's knowing how to apply the Word of God to our everyday lives. So Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Now, this phrase right here, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, that word try in the Greek is perasmos. And that word perasmos literally means the word test. When you look at this word in a in-depth Greek form, you will realize that perasmos is what you call a neuter word. It's neither male or female. In other words, based on who's using it will determine its actual usage of it. In other words, when I'm tested, that's directly connected with God. But when I'm tempted, that's directly connected with Satan. See, it's the same word, but it all depends on who's using it. Whenever God shows up, he's only testing me. Whenever Satan shows up, he's trying to tempt me because he's trying to get me off of track so I won't get to the next level in my life. Look at your neighbor and tell him, but I'm going to stay on course. Look at somebody else and tell him, I'm going to stay on course. Because when God, this GPS system, this global positioning system, and for us as citizens of the kingdom, is the godly positioning system, he puts us in particular places of our life at particular times for particular reasons. The only problem that you and I have with God is he does not always tell us what the reason is. And that's why we struggle. That's why we doubt. That's why we cannot get to the next place, because we become entrenched of trying to find out what God is doing next. Look, when you get up in the morning, that's all you need to know, because God thought enough of you that he purposed you to get up the next day, because he's not through with you. When he don't purpose you to get up, then that means he's done with you. So when I get up with purpose. I get up following God's instructions that he gave me the last time until he gives me a new set of instructions. The text says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now this fiery trial is very interesting. It paints the picture now of something called a smeltering furnace. For you barbecuers, it's basically a barbecue pit, all right? Y'all woke? Y'all still with me? Amen. Turn me up a little more. All right. Y'all not responding. I don't know if you hear me. It's like a barbecue pit, and so it's a smeltering furnace. And so what the person who would be over the process would do, he would put the coals in the smeltering furnace, and he would take a fan and he would pump the fan, and the fan would blow air on the coals, heating the coals up. Then he would take something of a solid state and put in something that looks like a crucible. He would hold it with a tong and he would put it into the fire and he would light up the fire. As the fire is being heated up, that which is solid begin to liquefy. As it begins to liquefy, that which is on the inside that is impure begins to rise to the top. He then allow it to cool. The person who's over the process looks at it, and everything that is impure, he takes a scraper and begin to scrape it off. Are y'all going to talk back to me? And if he sees too much trash in it, he starts the process all over again. He puts it back in the fire. He heats it up again and again. He takes the impurities out. If it's more impurities, he does it all over. He puts it in the fire. He heats it up again and again. I'm trying to help somebody here. Is it any time do you feel like you in the fire? Well, if you feel like you in the fire, you in a good place, because all God is trying to do is get the trash out of your life. It may not feel comfortable. It may not look comfortable. People may talk about you. People may misunderstand you. But when you are in the furnace, your ultimate goal is to come out where God can present you as pure gold. Now, the process is for him to look in to that which is solid, to scrape the impurities out. And what he does when he looks in it, he wants to see his reflection. Oh, Lord. If he can't see his reflection, then he puts us back through the process. All God is trying to get out of you is that when he puts you in something, that when you come out of something, you start to look a little bit more like him. Am I making sense to anybody? So he puts us through this time and time again so we can get to the next level in our lives. So we can sit back and say, like Job, and I come out as pure gold. I wish I had a better witness right there. The tension is to get us to think about it. To think about it. Not to get in our feelings. Not to become emotional. But to think about it. Why can't you, as pretty as you are, keep a man? Instead of labeling all men dogs, why is it that you only keep attracting those kind of men? You got to think about it. Y'all don't like me right now. It's okay. Why is it that you every time consolidate the loan, and the minute you're finished with the consolidation, that you find yourself back in credit card debt with six more credit cards? When was the last time we paused to think about it? Why is it that they keep overlooking you for the position on your job, but they use you to train everybody who's coming in, and you have more knowledge than everybody else? Instead of saying they're trying to keep me down, when was the last time you paused to think about it? People don't like to think about real stuff that will change their lives. Okay, let me help you. People, starting with me, don't like to think about real stuff that will change their lives, because many times we think our lives are already what God wants them to be. God told me to tell you there's another level that he has in store for you. That there's another place he wants to take you. That there's another realm that he has ready for you when you decide to not be emotional, but to think about it. If you haven't experienced any new challenges, you know what that really says? You're on the same level. If you got all the answers to all the problems, that's because you done took the test so many times. All God is trying to say, can I get you to come to the next level? Because I got a new test for you. But even with the new test, I've already given you the answers. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So, when I think about the life in which God wants us to live, I begin to understand that no matter what situation we are in, failure is not an option. If you go into a situation thinking you're going to fail, you already have. But when you step into any situation in life, and knowing that you're not stepping in there by yourself, that you're undergirded by the power of God, that you're infused by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you have God who is speaking to you, Jesus interceding with you, goodness and mercy behind you, angels watching over you all day and all night, you step in there with a level of boldness that says God has already figured it out. He says, think about it, the fiery trial which is to try you. Now listen to what he says. As though some strange thing happened unto you. In God's currency of blessings, how he wants to take you from faith to faith, let me drop this on you. There are no mistakes. There are no mistakes in God's plan for your life. We can make missteps, but there are no mistakes with God's plan for our lives. They're really not. That's really not, because the last time I checked scripture, it said all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. It can be summed in this way. It's divine synchronicity. In other words, there's a divinity and he synchronizes your life and even calculates your mistakes and add grace and mercy and favor that even when you mess up, according to Corinthians, he has already planned a way of escape for you. Lord have mercy. I'll be shouting right there. He has already planned a way of escape. Because your neighbor and tell her failure is not an option. Lastly and finally, not only do we see the tension in verse number 12, then we see the testing also in verse number 12, the fiery trial. But lastly, in verse 13, we begin to see the development of the testimony. Let the church say testimony. He says, listen to this. He says, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers in Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, listen, ye may be glad also with not any kind of joy, but exceeding joy. All right, let's unpack it and then we'll go home. Now he starts off by saying, but rejoice. Which simply means you cannot rejoice unless you already have joy. So he's trying to get you to understand that you have to begin to stir up the stuff that is joyful on the inside. When he moves from the but rejoice, listen to what he says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers. Now, when he says partakers with Christ's suffering, there's another level of joy. Because for you to celebrate the suffering of Christ, you also have to celebrate the celebration of Christ. In other words, I entered into this dilemma with a level of joy. Now that I'm down in the fiery pit, now that it's heating up and that which is solid begin to liquefy, now someone comes alongside me, and it's not the first time that he joined someone when they were in the fire. Oh my God. He comes alongside of me and he becomes a partner with me while I'm in the fire. And as I'm coming out of the fire, the same person who is a partner with me begins to take me out of the fire. And the joy I had going in is another level of joy that I have going out. Oh, my God. He says, his glory shall be revealed. that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And lastly and finally, just to take a quick glimpse at verse 14, our spirit gave me this coming in. He said, have them to look at it. He says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of the glory of God rested upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. All of the stuff that you and I will go through during the course of any day, any week, any month, and any year is for the purpose of God putting his glory on us. It's for the purpose of God taking his glory and put on you. I used to work at this place some many years ago, and there was a guy who just would come in, and he just would do his job. And when all of the brothers were cussing on the job, he just would remain with his integrity. He never would say a word, and we had worked with this gentleman for months and months and months. And then one day, we're there, and someone comes to the job to deliver something to him, and the guy walked up to him, and he said, "Hey, Pastor, I got the package for you." So all of a sudden, all of us looked over there and say, "Man, you a pastor?" And he said, "Yeah." And one of the other guys said, "Well, why didn't you tell us?" He said, "I didn't have to tell you. I just live like one." And one of them said, "I knew there was something different about you, because I didn't act the same way." And see, when God puts you into situations and the glory of God rests upon you, you are not going to act the same way that you may have acted in the past. The old folks say, "I looked at my hands and my hands look new. I looked at my feet and my feet did too. I don't go the same places. I don't do the same things. I don't hang out with the same crowd, because God is doing something new in my life." Shake somebody's hand and tell them, "We got business to take care of. Ain't no failure here. We have higher mountains to climb. We got bigger valleys to trench out." Tuck somebody and tell them, "Just hang on in there just a little while longer, and the Lord will make a way." Shake somebody else and tell them, "I've been through it. I've seen it. And God's word is to be promised." I don't know who I'm talking to today, but the last time I checked, God is still worthy of our praise. God is still in charge. God is still on the throne. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been through some things that you don't know what's going on, I command that you trust in God. And when you trust in God, everything is going to be all right. Is it anybody here that don't mind testifying that I am a living witness that the God I serve, he will take care of you? Shake somebody's hand and tell them, "After all I've been through, I still got joy. After all the disappointments, I still got joy. After all of the heartaches and pains, I still got joy. And this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." Shake somebody's hand and tell them, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. If you know it, say yes." Yeah, yes, yes. After all I've been through, the Lord is still making a way. The Lord is still opening doors. The Lord is still drying tears. And is it anybody here that's tried my Jesus? If you know it's all right, do me one more favor. Stand on your feet and just encourage somebody and tell them, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." Ain't it all right? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. 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 Yes.
somebody and tell them, God's been too good. God's been too good. He brought you through January, February, and March. He kept Satan off you in April, May, June, and July. He opened doors in August. He closed doors in September. He blessed you in October. He thanked you in November. And now in December, the least I can do is tell him, thank you for all you've done for me. Ain't it all right? If you know it, say yes. God's been too good for us, to us, through us, that failure is not an option. God did not bring you to this first Sunday for you not to be satisfied and excited about what he's going to do in January, the things he's going to do in 2018. God brought you to this point to get you to the next place. Failure is not an option. Let us pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you for your word that has gone forth. We ask now, dear God, that that word would take root in the hearts and the minds and in the souls of everyone here. Thank you, dear God, for your word. For someone may have felt like giving up on today, and we pray now that that word has encouraged them. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. While you still